We're going to be in Luke chapter 11. Jesus Christ spent much of his time in prayer. He would draw away to a wilderness place and he would pray alone. He prayed before the Spirit came down at his baptism like a dove. He prayed before he chose his 12 disciples. He prayed at different junctures of his ministry, and Jesus' life was marked and characterized by prayer. And Jesus is our example because he lived the perfect life of faith and trust in God that none of us has ever been able to live. But we can do that through the filling and the empowerment of the Spirit. We need to learn and practice prayer. It is such a transformational thing in our lives. And I'm convinced that God wants to supply many things to us, and we have not because we ask not. Also, that our spiritual growth can be helped through our prayer. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but God wants us to grow spiritually. And the Bible says that if we ask according to God's will, he'll hear and answer the request. And so, God is faithful. Jesus here is praying in this scripture here in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And his disciples are listening to him pray. And one of them says, "Lord, teach us to pray like that." We want you to teach us what you're doing and give us some guidance on that. And so Jesus says, okay, when you pray, pray like this. And he gives them a model prayer that they can use as a kind of a framework, if you will, a skeleton to hang their hat on, you know, kind of thing, so that they would have a place to start in knowing how to pray. And also it shows us some emphasis that Jesus wanted them to have in their prayer life. And so we can learn a lot through looking at this model prayer. We need to learn and practice prayer in our daily lives. And so the title of my message is Learning to Pray. Let's begin reading there in verse 1. He was praying in a certain place, and when he was finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." He said to them, "Whenever you pray, say, 'Father, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not bring us into temptation.'" So what should we do as we learn and practice prayer in our lives? The first thing I want you to see is to observe other people's prayers. Now, pick which ones you observe. We all have seen different kinds of praying, but the kind of person that you want to observe is a person that has a simplicity and a sincerity in their praying. God is not concerned with how much flowery language we use or if we speak in King James English when we pray. God is concerned about our hearts. And I remember when my kids were little, and they would say something, "Daddy, would you do such and so for me?" You know, and it wasn't eloquent, it wasn't sophisticated. It was just a simple cry, "Hey, Dad, I need this. Would you help me out here?" And I of course responded, why? Because I love them. I didn't say, "Okay, once you get your language down right, I'll think about answering your prayer." So it needs to be just simple from the heart. But also, you can sometimes sense the Spirit when a person prays. And there are certain people that I've prayed with over the years who you just enter the presence of God when they pray. And it's such a blessing. And so learn little bits and pieces from people and observe. You've heard evangelism sometimes is more caught than taught. I think prayer sometimes can be that way too. Learn and listen. One great place to do that, I'll make a plug, Wednesday night prayer meeting. we spend some time in prayer and we allow different people to pray, that would be a good place to observe others. Sometimes you may have an opportunity to get into a small prayer group at your workplace or someplace you have a hobby. There's somebody that wants to do a Bible study and have some prayer time. Those are good opportunities. I remember having a prayer group. I spent a little time at Liberty University. I had some friends there. We had a prayer group. When I was in the military, somebody in my church said, "Hey, we have a prayer group. Would you like to join us?" I said, "Absolutely." And so we spent time praying together. I can think of different friends. One of the director of missions that I had in Texas, his name was Rodney Williams, and he shared with me about how God turned around his church through prayer. And then my friend, I've mentioned to you a number of times, Bill Dickey, was a great person of prayer and just a great man of faith. I get to pray with Tom Burge, and that's a blessing. And so when you get those opportunities to pray with people, that's a good thing. You know, you learn and you grow and you join your hearts together as you cry out to the Lord. And it's a great way to learn how to come to God in trouble and to find His encouragement and strength. And some of you have greatly blessed me. As we spent time in prayer, I've had God speak to my heart as you prayed and encourage me. So that's so important to observe and join. There's something about joining our hearts together in prayer that's awesome. I think Jesus did this on purpose when he allowed them. It says he was praying in a certain place, and they're observing, and they're a part of this with him. They're a part of this prayer time. But they don't quite know what to do. They're watching him, and then they ask for more information. But Jesus was letting them see an example in his own life of what it meant to pray. So take advantage of that. If you have an opportunity to be a part of a prayer group, come Wednesday night. We'd love to have you and participate in prayers. All right. How do you learn how to pray and practice prayer? Observe other people's prayers. Secondly, praise your God. Praise your God. The word Father here is kind of an intimate word that would have been shocking to the Jewish people. But he says, "Father, your name be honored as holy," or be set apart. The word literally means to be sanctified, set apart as holy. The idea is that God would be set up on high, that you'd worship him. And praise his name, and that he would be honored by others as well. And so praising God is so important. What does praise mean? Praise is just saying something to God about who he is and his greatness. So you could praise God. You might say, "Lord, I praise you for this beautiful sunset that you created and made. I thank you, God, for the beautiful mountains that I see. I praise you for your creation. God, I praise you that your mercy is new every morning." It's something about God and his character, something that God does, and you praise him. And the Bible says we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts of praise. Praise ushers us in to close fellowship with God. There's something powerful about praise. So make sure you make that part of your prayer time. And then also, he says, not only observe others' prayers, praise your God, but thirdly, surrender your will. Surrender your will. He says, "Your kingdom come." Your kingdom come. When you have a kingdom, you've got to have a king, and you've got to have subjects, right? So if I'm praying, "Your kingdom come," what I'm praying is, "Lord, I want you to have your will and your way in this world, in my life and in the lives of others." Wouldn't it be great if God's kingdom came, I mean really came, in America, and the people of our land were all obeying God from the heart? Would that not be awesome? Talk about a transformation. So we're to pray for that. Pray for that. But also, when we pray that, to pray it sincerely, it means that we also are considering that we want his kingdom in our lives. "Lord, fulfill your will, your plan in my life. I surrender to you. I surrender to your purposes and to your will." is so important. And when you surrender to God, what you do is you allow God to work through your life. When I'm not surrendered to God, I quench the Holy Spirit. So if this is a very important part of your prayer life. And you remember the scripture that says, take up your cross daily and follow me, what Jesus says. I think that's part of this right here, surrender. You're each day you make that choice, you know. I heard somebody say, I give Jesus the throne of my life and then I crawl back up on it. And a lot of it, we tend to do that, don't we? At least I'll speak for myself. I tend to do that. And so each day I have to come to the Lord. And sometimes I even have to say, Lord, surrender through me because I'm having trouble with this surrender thing. That's probably the most difficult part of praying is surrendering our will to God. So it's important. Surrender. Here's something that God said. He said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, it's one thing to say, okay, God, you can have this, 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 and this in my life, but you can't have this. It's another thing when you say, Lord, my life is surrendered to your purpose. I want to walk with you. I want to seek your face. I want to follow you with all my heart. He says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Surrender is the path to intimacy with God. So make sure you make that a part of your prayer life. What should we do as we learn and practice prayer? First of all, observe others' prayers, praise your God, surrender your will, and next, ask for your wants. That's a good part, isn't it? Ask for your wants. Give us each day our daily bread. You know, we live in such a culture and that most of us don't have to worry about our daily bread. We're used to having it. But in many parts of the world, they don't know where the next meal's coming from. And so they pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. I love the story of George Mueller and his ministry of faith. And he would, a lot of times, wouldn't have money. He opened all these orphanages, was taking care of all these orphans. And he didn't have money to buy groceries. And he would say, Lord, I need food today. And he said sometimes he'd actually be on his knees praying for it, and he'd hear a knock on the door. God had already brought the groceries that he needed before he even finished praying for it. Is that not awesome? Give us this day our daily bread. But, you know, bread is not just the physical bread that we eat, but also the spiritual bread that we need. When you come to God in your quiet time and you're reading God's Word, that's a great prayer to say, Lord, speak to me. Feed my soul through this time and give me what I need today from your Word. And let God speak to you and listen for that work of God through His Word in your life. God will nourish your soul. Sometimes I've prayed this, Lord, I'm not exactly sure what I need, but would you give it to me? And, you know, He's so faithful to do that. He can bring just the right circumstance or the right word or whatever it is that you need and satisfy your soul. Ask for your wants. Did you know God cares about the details of your life? You know how I know that? He has your hairs numbered. If He knows how many hairs are on your head at a given point of time, He cares about the details of your life. If He sees when you sit in your eyes and He's watching you, then He cares about the details of your life. You ever pray for a close parking spot? I have, especially when I go to Walmart. Who wants to walk away from the cheap seats? I mean, it's God cares about that stuff. You can pray, ask God for the things that you need or that you want. In some cases, you may not even need it. But ask for those things. And Jesus said in one place, you have not because you ask not. Ask for your wants. So what you do is you learn and practice prayer. Observe others' prayers. Praise your God. Surrender your will. Ask for your wants. And finally, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive others in debt to us. Forgive us our sins. That's one way you prepare your heart. You confess your sin to God. Lord, I sinned when I did, fill in the blank. That's confession. You repent of that sin. You say, Lord, change my heart and give me a desire to be obedient to you in this area of my life. That's, you're preparing your heart. That kind of goes along with the idea of surrender. I'm surrendering my will in this area, particularly to follow God and to turn from sin. It prepares my heart to enter his presence. Bill Bright, he has a little tract called Being Filled with the Spirit of God, and talks about spiritual breathing, and he says confession is breathing out. You know, when you breathe out all the impurities. And then asking for the filling of the Spirit is breathing in, like that. And so confession is preparing our heart for God's presence. Now, not only does he confess his sins, but he says we also, and of course Jesus is saying, this is your model. Jesus had no sin, but this is your model. For we also forgive everyone in debt to us. Now, Matthew says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But Luke uses the word forgive in the first part and then the word in debt to us. Because when somebody does you wrong, you kind of feel like they owe you, right? You're going to make them pay. And, you know, your brother, sister, your spouse or something does something, I'm going to make them pay. I'm going to give them the silent treatment, right? And so you're walking around the house, you won't talk, and you're making them pay, right, because they owe you a debt. What Jesus is saying, you got to cancel your debt. To say, the debt is forgiven. You don't owe me anymore. Because guess what? That's what Jesus did for us. And so we are to follow that example. Now, Luke doesn't really get into this in detail right in this few verses that we're talking about, but the Bible says that if we don't forgive others their trespasses against us, God won't forgive us. What's that mean? That means that if you're a child of God and you are holding a grudge against someone else, God will not restore your fellowship with him until you forgive that person. So that's a serious thing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk in a spiritual desert. I don't want to be under the discipline of God. So I need to prepare my heart. When I come to him in times of prayer, I need to forgive anyone that I'm holding a grudge against. Ephesians says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, sometimes you may have to stay up pretty late to get that thing ironed out, right? But don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And it's a preparation for this fellowship with God. Trying to make those things right prepares us for prayer. And then he says, don't bring us into temptation. The word for temptation could be test, a test, or it could be also the temptation to do evil. And the idea is that God, even though he doesn't tempt us to sin, God can intervene and keep the enemy from tempting us. You remember where Jesus tells Peter, he says, look, Peter, the devil has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. You see, Jesus is intervening in keeping the devil from the work that the devil wants to do in Peter's life through prayer. By the way, you and I can do that too. We can pray to God on behalf of somebody else. The Bible calls that intercession. And as we pray for those other people, we can thwart the work of the devil in their lives. Is that not an awesome thought? Great, great stuff. He says, do not bring us into temptation. So we're praying that God will keep us from being overwhelmed by temptation or overwhelmed by a trial. I love that scripture that says, every temptation given is common to man. And God will not tempt you or test you above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. And so God will not allow things to come into your life that will be too difficult for you and Jesus to handle. And he will give you the grace. And so that's kind of the idea here. He's praying, Lord, help my heart to be true to you. Have you ever felt like you've just been under the temptation of the enemy, you've been struggling. It just seems at every turn. Have you ever had one of those bad hair days that everything goes wrong and you just, you know, you've lost your temper and then another thing happens and another thing happens. And, you know, by the time some time has passed, you're completely out of sorts. And what's going on here? When we pray, Lord, protect me from this. Help my heart to stay true to you. Sometimes it may be the same circumstances, but that God gives us the grace to overcome those things and to have a heart that is right toward him in the middle of it and to be faithful to him. But make sure you pray about those spiritual concerns in your life. How much of your prayer time is concerned with worldly things versus spiritual things? If you look at this prayer, you find a whole lot of emphasis on the spiritual things that you pray for, right? And so that's one thing to focus on. When you pray about your spiritual needs. Pray about the concern. If you're struggling with a sin, lift that to God in prayer and ask God to show you the steps you need to take in his word. If you're dealing with a bad attitude, take that to God in prayer. Say, Lord, I've had a bad attitude. I just want to punch so-and-so in the nose. I didn't just point at somebody, okay? Lord, here's where I am, and I need you to intervene in my life and help me to live the way that you're calling me to live. So all of us are there at times where we just are in a situation that we feel like we just can't quite deal with spiritually, and we need to live for the Lord the way that we need to live. And so bring those things to God in prayer. Let him intervene and bring his supernatural power into the middle of it so that you can live the life that God has called you to live. That's part of preparing your heart. As you enter that day, preparing that God will give you strength to overcome temptation, that God will give you the strength to love other people like Jesus wants us to love them, those kinds of things. So prepare your heart. If you're learning to pray, observe others' prayers, praise your God, surrender your will, ask for your wants, and prepare your heart. And as you do these things, God will be at work in your life. Let me mention one other thing. These prayers are offered in the plural. He says, verse 3, give us each day. Forgive us, verse 4. We ourselves, a debt who are in debt to us, do not bring us into temptation. Let me ask you this. How much of your prayer life is focused on you versus the body of Christ? As God's people, when we pray, we need to have a focus not just on ourselves, but on the needs of the body of Christ. Because guess what? We're all in this together. We're in a war. The devil wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy me. So as we think about what prayers could I pray for my church and for the body of Christ around the world that God could use to help us be what he wants us to be. So some great, great truths about learning to pray. What does God do when we pray? He defeats the work of the enemy. He overcomes obstacles in our lives. He restores our spirit. He gives us boldness in service. He empowers us and uses us. I mean, there's so many things that there's every area of your Christian life is affected by your prayer life. So make sure you take the time to learn and practice prayer in your life. God will bless you, and you will be blessed through your relationship with him as you do these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, help us to learn and practice prayer. Help us to focus on the needs of others, the assembly, the body of Christ. Father, help us to individually take time each and every day to come into your presence, Lord, to praise you for the good things that you've done for us, for who you are.